You, Me, and My Friend, narrated by James Liam, narrated for Cupido in collaboration with Saga. You, Me, and My Friend of Dante.
Do you think Gruner wants to? He said, "Hello, gorgeous," when he came in. "I am so horny," she says, only half joking. I let what she says hang in the air while I set to thinking. Her tigerish look is lazily challenging now, her lips swollen and shiny, her silver crucifix and Sunday school education are well hidden inside the collar of her long-armed, tight-fitting, spangly blouse. Her slender fingers drum impatiently on the table. Runa looks over at me and raises his glass of cognac. I lift mine in reply. He smiles, turning his attention to the person sitting alongside. He can't have any idea. My wife's always been uninhibited and fearless, but tonight she's bubbling over with lust, dreams and forbidden fantasies that she cannot, nor wishes to, hold in check. "That white wine was excellent, thank you," she says a few moments later. I have to smile. The bottle's probably empty. She might even be well down on the second one. But she loses none of her charm or common sense when she's had a few. She just gets even more amorous. "I don't think I'll go to bed quite yet," she says, and I send a smile back. I lose all focus on the conversation I'm in the middle of. I'm hot, a little bit turned on, bulging a bit, and Gudrun at work must simply not get the idea it's because of her. So when my wife texts, "God, are you coming home soon? I'm so horny tonight," I use my cell phone to order a cab for 15 minutes' time. My pulse is racing too much for me to dance with any of the resplendent women I work with. Their smiles are far too broad. Besides, when a horny woman beckons, you go. Runa, who gave in his notice just over a year ago and took the trip into town so he could go to the Christmas party, is going to be sleeping on the sofa. I guess he wouldn't have minded staying at the party, but he performs a quick round of goodbye hugs and comes home with me. I am excited and quiet in the car. Mia, smiling with hot, flushed cheeks, opens the door and sees us into the hallway. She smells of warm vanilla and fresh white wine. She kisses me on the cheek and lips and winks, asking if we've had a nice time. "It was nice to see everybody again," Runa manages to say, before she gives him a hug and ruffles his hair, embarrassing him sufficiently that he shuts up. She looks at him and smiles. "I agree. Nice to see you again. Boring being on your own." Two generous brandies are waiting for us in the lounge. "If I know you two, you haven't thought about calling it a night just yet," she says, tasting mine before handing it to me. "Scary business for an innocent little soul," she laughs. Sinking down in the sofa, Runa and I tell her a bit about the party. The room is terribly warm. Mia has lit candles all around the lounge and has a music channel on the TV with the sound turned down low. She sits down beside me, nice and close, sniffs at me, smiling. She touches my face, asking if we've been dancing much. "You smell of hot toddy," she smiles. Runa scoffs at the idea, saying the nicest girls weren't even there. Mia laughs. "Don't you mean the horniest? You know, you should have tried dancing with some of those nice lads. They're always horny," she teases. She kisses my neck, curls her arms and legs around me and purrs. She's like a clingy kitten. Her look is dark as a predator's, almost black and slightly scary. "It's not actually that late. Maybe we left the party too early after all. But it's just as irritating every year that people's partners are not invited. So I usually sabotage the overall impression a bit. But I go every year, just the same, much to my own and Mia's disappointment. I should quit, I think to myself. Do what Runa's done and change cities, change jobs and get better wages. Runa got shot of his women too. That's not something I'd do." Mia pours some brandy and turns the sound up on the TV. We stare at the flashy car.